cafe, and so that's where I met Forrest. But I look back at my life as well, and I can still say I'm on fire for God, and yet sometimes life gets in the way, and sometimes just the routine and whether it's just responsibilities that need to be done or the joys of life sometimes can even get in the way, and not that we're not supposed to have joys in our life, but the joys of life, the pursuits that we sometimes have, and friendships even, and family, and during the little one stage, it's all a blur sometimes, and then all of a sudden, that first love that you speak of, Forrest, it's like, where's that first love again? I remember, Lord, when I still remember when I was first baptized in the Holy Spirit, and I could not get enough of the Word of God, and I would go about doing my thing. Like, you have responsibilities in life still, and yet I couldn't wait to get back to my room and open the Word of God again, and I was just devouring it, and you know, you think of a teenager, and sometimes we're spiritual teenagers, if you will, but a teenager, and some of us don't grow out of it. I'm looking at you, Kelsey, where we just eat and eat and eat and eat, and we just can't get enough. Like, you just ate like three meals. Yeah, but I'm still hungry. Like, I need more. And like, where are you putting it? Like, it's incredible. And I remember when it was the same with the Word of God, and same with the presence of God, and just wanting to consume and consume and consume and consume. And Lily brought up a word this past Monday, and it's just been ringing in my ears and ringing in my heart this week, and talking to different people too. God brings up this theme, and just hearing you this morning, Forrest, again, and the word is desperate, like desperate for the Lord. And just, I need you, I want you, I need to hold you, I need to hear you, I need to see you, I need your touch, I need your healing, I need your guidance. Lord, I pray for the gifts to operate in us. I pray for your Spirit to manifest among us. I ask, and I need you, Lord, and oh God, may you take us back to that place of like a child, you know, where we are in just such desperate need, and recognizing that need. And again, like I said, life sometimes just creeps up on you, and it just moves us. And sometimes as we become adults in that, and hopefully, you know, we become a little bit more stable and all that. But it sometimes lends to a place of, okay, yeah, we just settle down, and you know, all these phrases, you know, that we have of adulthood, and we lose that desperation sometimes. And you know, we get a bank account and have enough money to do fine and buy what we want, and sometimes we lose that desperation and that day to day. But I think God wants to take us back to that. Even as we're stable in some places of life, like I think stability is a beautiful thing, and pray for stability. Like, pray that, Lord, I would like that if I could have it, please. And yet there's something about the unknown that just keeps us on our knees, and there's something about the not knowing that takes us back to the Lord so naturally, and we fall at his feet. And you know, we were mentioning, as Lil was talking about desperate, and we've seen each other a few times this week already, like four or five times already. But she was mentioning at one of those times, you know, the blind men in the Gospels, and especially blind Bartimaeus, and I've mentioned him before, and he's one of my favorite characters in the Gospels, because just this boldness and this desperation, and Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me, and he just starts crying out, and the disciples tell him to be quiet, because that's not the way things are done, and you're making a scene and all of this. And yet he just started crying out all the more, even louder, you know. And Lil was sharing this story, and I don't think Ian would mind, but but just as they were moving Ian into the bed, as Little was there, and with a broken hip, everything's in pain. Like it just, I imagine, like I can only imagine that kind of pain, but just shooting through your body, and he's just moaning, but louder than moaning, and he's just crying out, Jesus, Jesus, right? It's just this, I'm desperate for you, I'm hurting so much. And as I read through scripture, I notice this theme of the Lord rescuing his people, and they become the Lord taking his people to a hard place, and they become desperate for him. And then he hears that cry. Oh, I think she pinched her fingers. He hears that cry, right? And then he rescues them. He rescues his people. He sees their desperation, and they call out to him honestly. Like, it's an honest cry. It's not trying to manipulate. It's not, hey, this worked last time, let's try it again. It's from the depths of your being, this desperation. You can't manufacture it. If you try and manufacture it, God can see through it. You can't manipulate God. We just can't manipulate God, and I don't want to be able to. That would be horrible. But he hears this desperate cry, this cry from the very depths of your being, oh God, I need you, and he rescues them, and he gives them comfort, and he gives them peace, and he gives them joy, and he rescues them from the enemy that is pursuing them. But often what happens then is then they begin to forget God. And one of my heartbeats is that, oh, if we could remember during times of peace and during times of joy, and when the world is all as it should be, like that one song says, blessed be your name, if we could remember during those times that we are still just as desperate as we've ever been, and cry out to him in that desperation. And it's like, Lord, yeah, thank you. Thank you that this is working out right now. And thank you that that's working out. Thank you that we have money in the bank account and food in the fridge and a roof over our heads and different stuff. Thank you that the family's doing well and my kids are following you, Lord. And that, awesome. Yes, praise God. Oh, but I'm just as much in need of you as the family whose lives are falling apart. I'm just as desperate as the mom who has a drug-addicted child and is hurting and is crying out to you right now. I'm just as desperate as, you know, when I was, I've had opportunity to, you know, because of being a pastor and that, I've had opportunity to take phone calls. Some phone calls are very difficult, and some face-to-face meetings are difficult, and talking with people in moments of desperation. And so yesterday when John called, it was after that moment already, because Jeremy it already looked fine. Like, I didn't know that by the short phone call we had, and I sent out the email right away, but things were looking okay as of maybe an hour before the phone call. But it's almost like the whole situation, like the whole emotion of it just hit John during the phone call, and, you know, just began weeping, and, you know, and it's just the flood of it all, just that desperate. And it's amazing how stuff like that, when that happens in our lives, it puts stuff in perspective. All of a sudden, money doesn't matter as much. All of a sudden, the comings and goings of life and some of the stuff that we worry about sometimes and think about and spend our time on, that's not that important when your child is in the hospital fighting for his life. And then all of a sudden our prayers become really real. It's not these rote prayers. It's sometimes just guttural groans that the Holy Spirit interprets to the Father for us on our behalf, and we groan before him. My prayer is that we, not that we would have the emotion of that, because that would overwhelm us. We can't take the emotion of that desperation 24/7. That's just too much. That's emotion overload. But where we would have the realization that we are just as desperate as John and Heather were, you know, yesterday and the night before when they didn't know what was going on, and didn't know if Jeremy was going to make it or not. All of us are just as desperate as that. I mean, even you just think about it logically, none of us are guaranteed the next minute. There are people walking around, you know, like with ticking time bombs in their heart. They look healthy, everything looks fine, and yet the next minute they're gone because of a heart attack, and nothing previous had ever shown itself that would be a problem, and yet there's this anomaly going on, or there's this sickness going on that they don't know anything about. There are people who are walking around with cancer who don't know it, and they have 3 weeks left to live. All of a sudden they'll get sick, they'll go to the doctor, I've got this thing that I can't get rid of, and they find out they're riddled with cancer, and they'll be gone in a few weeks. None of us know. Driving, the other day we were almost T-boned because it was our green light. Thankfully, I have this routine where even at a green light, I take another last look or two before I drive through. For the most part, I do that, and just it's become routine. Thankfully, I did that because this person did. I don't know whether they were singing a song with the radio or if they were talking on Bluetooth with someone on the phone or whatever, but they went through the intersection full speed. No, and I honked, and that's one of the reasons why we need a new van, because this van does not have a good horn. But it's just another thing that we would need to get fixed on this van. But I honked, but he didn't see. But he would have T-boned me. It would have hit right where I was. And who knows? Who knows? But that's how fast life can go. But may we all have this desperation. We're all desperate for the Lord. These visions and these dreams that God is putting into our hearts and talking to us about, only He can accomplish it. You know, you got Kingdom Bound coming up. Only He can accomplish what He wants to accomplish there. It's like, Lord, you need to show up as you have shown up in the past. And we don't want to take you for granted. We don't want to assume, you know, because we've been doing this for 30 years or whatever, like that you're just going to, we can just chalk. God's going to show up. God's going to do His thing and take it for granted. And let's just have a good week and let's have some fun. No, Lord, we're desperate for you. There's going to be people there who are seeking. There's going to be people at Kingdom Bound who are in need and who are looking for answers. And Lord, you need to fill us with your presence and you need to pour yourself out. We're desperate for you. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy. We need to be on our knees. We need to realize. I think sometimes we forget because life sometimes is so good. And praise God that it's good. But sometimes when it's good, we forget how in need we are of Him. But when we're younger and when things aren't all worked out for us already and laid out for us, and when we're praying about our future and it's like, Lord, I don't know what I'm going to do. Got so much in front of me, I don't know what I'm going to do. Ah, to be 18 again, right? Where we're like, God, I don't know what's coming up. I don't know what life is about. Where are you going to take me? There's so many roads in front of me. There's so many doors. There's so many opportunities. Oh, God. Oh, what a beautiful place. But now when we get older, well, yeah, like I do this. This is what I do. I'm a pastor. Life is good, right? I work at a farm. It's peach season again. We just pack peaches and we make sure the equipment's running. That's the way life is, and that's the way it's been for the last number of years, and that's the way life is going to be. Oh, may we seek Him. May we seek Him desperately. You are in desperate need of God. I am in desperate need of God. Another guy in the Gospels that I love is Zacchaeus. He's climbing that tree to get a glimpse of Jesus. He forgets what's proper. That's just not something grown men do. That's so improper. It's so embarrassing. Yeah, Jesus stops right there and he sees the desperation in Zacchaeus and he says, I'm gonna eat with you. I want to eat with you. I want to spend some time with you. I want to come to your home. I want to honor your home. Are we climbing trees to get a glimpse of Jesus? Are we doing what's absolutely inappropriate because, oh, Lord, I don't care. I don't care who hears. I don't care who sees. I just need you. On Tuesday, we're going through Philippians, and we came across the verse of basically Paul saying, emulate me as I emulate Christ. And he says that in a few different books. But basically, you know, and I've, that's a bold thing to say. And I don't know that I can fully say that to you in all areas of my life. But in one area of my life, I think I can say it. I have noticed over the last 25 years, 30 years, ever since mid-teens, pretty constantly actually, and maybe it's partly because God has not settled us in just a nice lifelong routine. And even now that we are here and I feel like this is home, I feel like we are finally in that place that God has always talked to me about. That wide open space, but even here, it's got its elements of absolute unknown. One of my prayers all along has been, oh God, I need you, and would you please show me, and would you please change me, and he has had me in this constant state of desperation, and I've just had these simple prayers so much of my life, and so often I'm walking with God and talking, and it's just like, oh God, I'm still in the same place. God, help me. God, I need you. And sometimes, you know, the enemy comes accusing and says, why haven't you grown past that prayer, Kevin? See how immature you are. See how you haven't grown and all these things, and yet it's a lie from the enemy. And God says, no, you have grown. And you're never supposed to let go of this prayer, even as you grow in me. Because you're just as in need of me now as you were back then. Another thing that I would say, if I could be so bold to say, emulate me, is vulnerability. I remember when none of you has accused me of that or said anything about this to me, but I remember when I was at St. Anne's, some people, and it wasn't an accusation, but it was just, we don't like that you share so much about yourself. And because I think that some of the stories I would tell and some of the things I would open up about, it's like, it scared them. So we thought pastors had to have it all together. We thought pastors have to, you know, have everything worked out. And I would just share stuff I was, just like you guys know, I'll share stuff that I'm struggling with and that we're just all in the same boat. I might have a different calling, but I'm still just on my journey with God. And yeah, I hope that I'm walking it out in a mature way and in a godly way. And yet I'm just someone who is in desperate need of God. And as I've been vulnerable with you and vulnerable with others and sometimes sharing stuff with others, and again, with wisdom, you don't share everything all the time, and you got to listen to what the Holy Spirit wants you to share. But as we're vulnerable with each other, as we're vulnerable with our struggles, as we're vulnerable with our sins or our doubts and all that, it's just this place of really allowing each other to know our own desperation. I'm still so in need. I don't have it all together. Desperate for the Lord. Clinging to every word that comes from his mouth. Feeding on every word that comes from his mouth, knowing that his food is sustenance for us. And we will die without the word of God. We will die without him speaking into our lives. We will die without his movement in our lives. We need breath in our lungs all the time. Oh, haven't you grown to a place where you don't need to breathe anymore? Yeah, I think that's called death. We take in sustenance as a young little child, right? And maybe, yeah, they need it a little bit more, and the teens need it more sometimes, and maybe our metabolism becomes a little bit more efficient, you know, as we grow older. I'm far more fuel efficient than I used to be, you know? And yet we still need to eat, and I still need to breathe. And it's like, oh God, I still need to breathe you in every day. I need you to move in me. I need you to teach me. I need you to come to my home. I need you to dine with me. I hear you knocking at my door, and I knock at your door. Someone mentioned that, like you mentioned that, Lil, this past week, where in Revelation 3, Jesus is knocking on our door, and yet in Luke chapter 11, we're knocking on his door, and there's this mutual knocking going on. I want to dine with you, Lord Jesus. And we hear the Lord saying back, that's good, because I want to dine with you. Oh, Lord, I need to share some things with you. Oh, that's good, because I've got some things to share with you. And this first love, like at the marriage seminar a few years ago, what I shared there, and if you remember, and if you don't, you need to remember this, like when we first fall in love, oh, it's all we can do all we want to do is spend time with the other person. All we want to do is just pour out on the other person, and just this fireworks going off of love and this flame. There's this lie out there that sometimes people speak into each other's lives, and we do it in the church too, and it's horrible, and I'm so thankful we don't do it in this congregation, but this place of, well, yeah, that'll settle down. Yeah, you'll grow out of that. No. No, 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 you don't grow out of that. You're not supposed to. You're supposed to add to it. You're supposed to add depth and maturity to it, absolutely. But may you never lose that passion in your marriage. May you never lose that passion in your love of God. May you add depth to it. May you add maturity. But may you be just as desperate and head over heels with God, like in love with God, as you were at the very beginning. Because you need him just as much as you did back then. You need him now just as much as you did back then. We're all desperate for him. Whether we know it or not, we're desperate for him. We're desperate for the movement of the Lord. Desperate for the kingdom of God to show up. Don't be afraid, for those of us who are later into our adult years already. I know we got some young adults here. But for those of us who are later in our adult years, don't be afraid of looking like a child, looking like a fool. Don't be afraid of going back, not just to remember, right? But going back to that place of, oh God, I need you. And what I would suggest is that it's a place that we're supposed to remain. It's a place that, I look at the, you know, that story, I don't know this lady who's 78 years old, but having just heard that little snippet of her life that you share here, Forrest, I guarantee she is desperate for the Lord. She is desperate for his presence. She is desperate for his word. She just soaks in the presence of God. She seeks him. She calls out to him. I guarantee you, and this is another place I would encourage you, and may I be as bold as Paul, emulate me as I walk this out, because I know this is a good part of my life. I guarantee you she... This woman that Forrest is talking about, as she's coming and as she's going, she's talking to God. As she's in the parking lot of the grocery store and she's going towards the grocery store, I guarantee you she's talking to God. As she's, you know, doing that buggy up and down the aisle, she's like, oh God, And she's not just asking for, she's not like, oh God, show me where the deals are, you know? And no, that's, she's probably talking to the Lord about her neighbor, or talking to the Lord about just how lovely he is. Talking to God about how beautiful and how wonderful, thanking God for all the different things that he's done in her life. I bet she's constantly in prayer. As I come and go during my day, I'm talking to God. Sometimes just as I'm walking from one room to the other in the house, I'm talking to God. I'm seeking his face. I'm asking him things. I'm listening. I'm desperate for him. May we not lose that desperation. It is that returning to the first love. Yep. One thing I'll add to this, and then I'll ask if there's questions or comments. And I don't see anyone in danger of this, so that's good. So that's why I'll just be short. Some people, in their desperation, they'll just accept anything. So you think about different things people can be desperate for. They'll be desperate for a job or desperate for peace. I was thinking about Israel. We know that in the end days, in the last days that we're in, they will sell the land for peace. They will divide up the land for a peace deal. It doesn't say they'll divide up the land necessarily, but anyways, they have divided up the land already. But some people are so desperate for peace, they'll do something that they shouldn't do. They'll settle for something that they shouldn't settle for. Sometimes unity in the church, we know that unity is a beautiful thing and we should be striving after it, but some people then compromise in order to get that unity. They compromise the things that the Lord has called them to. Some people wanting to get married, sometimes so desperate to get married, they'll settle for someone that they shouldn't get married to. And that's a, don't compromise. In the desperate, I see me, like, throughout my life, seeking the Lord. I'll share two stories about this. Before we went to Thailand, I remember being in Queenston Heights, and I just wanted to spend the day with the Lord, and so I put down a blanket and just me and the Bible and prayer and the Lord and seeking the Lord, because I had so many questions. I was so hurting in so many ways at that point and just confused. And along comes a couple, elderly couple, and they see the Bible. Oh, are you a Christian? Yes, I am. And we are too. Oh, it's great. And I'm thinking, I've been praying for the Lord to give a sign or give direction. Maybe God's going to speak through these people into my life. Maybe this is the answer to my prayer. So I was really excited and began talking. And as we talked and continued to talk, it was very apparent to me that, no, these were not the people who were the answer to my prayers. They were more... their answer was, you need a new Bible because you have an NIV Bible and King James is the only real Bible. And that was the thrust of their part of the conversation. And that was the answer that they think I needed. In our desperation, we need to be wise to know and to hear what the answer is that the Lord is giving. And at the end of finally I ended the conversation. I just said, thank you very much, but I need to be alone with God now again. No, but you didn't. Nope, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless. See ya. You know, kind of thing. And they left. Second more recent story. So we've been praying as a church for healing, right? And we're still seeking the Lord on that. And, oh, Lord, pour out all the gifts and that, but one of the gifts that we have been praying for is healing, and the gift of healing, to understand it and walk in it a little bit more, walk in it better. And so a few weeks back, right, we were invited to go to the healing service, and Carlene and I went, and Lil was there as well for a part of the time. And as the evening went on, you know, because it's this place of, okay, Lord, if, like, we're asking to walk in healing, this group says they walk in healing, and they have, and so maybe you're going to teach us through things, like teach us through them, and I'm willing, and I want to be a student. But as we were there, it just became so apparent. Okay, I don't want to judge what they're walking in, because God walks in all of us. Like, there's differences. But as I looked at it, it's like, well, that's not the healing that God is talking to me about, and that's not what it looks like. That doesn't fit the picture. And yet, it's like, Lord, we're so desperate to walk in your gifting, and you keep on talking to us about these things, and again, one of them is healing, and temptation sometimes is to just, well, I'll just swallow it hook, line, and sinker. I'll just take whatever. I'm so hungry, I'll eat whatever someone gives me. No, we got to still be wise. So in your desperation, in our desperation for seeking the Lord, we still need to be wise. Because there's some stuff there that might just be cultural. There's some stuff there that might just be difference of personality. But there was also some stuff there that was just not right. I'll just leave it at that. So to be wise and to say, yeah, I'm not just going to turn off wisdom. I'm desperate for you, Lord. But I also know you. Yeah. And so that's where maybe in as we grow, yeah, Lord gives us that wisdom. It's interesting, yeah, maybe that's what happens. Sometimes the Lord gives us wisdom, but then we lose desperation. Sometimes when we're younger, we're desperate, but we're not wise. And so we'll just take anything that comes along. Because maybe we don't know the word as well, or we don't know the presence of God as well as we should, or as well as we will. But yeah, just in your desperation to be wise. But again, I want to reiterate, I don't actually see that problem. I see a healthy cautiousness in us, and that's good. Maybe sometimes even steering towards the ditch of cautiousness. But in that desperation, Lord, please give us wisdom as well. And in our desperation, never to compromise. Never to compromise any part of the Word of God or any part of the truth of the Lord. And you don't want to hold on to one verse. In order to hold on to one verse, you never have to let go of another verse. In order to hold on to one truth, you never have to let go of another truth. So Lord, give us wisdom in that. Never compromising on morals or the truth of God or the scriptures. We never want to be foolish in our desperation. I think of Esau, was so desperate for food and, you know, over dramatic. I'm going to die. It's like, Esau, can't you wait another hour and you won't die? But he got very melodramatic in his desperation, and so much so that he gave up his birthright to satisfy that hunger. Never give up your birthright to satisfy the hunger that is in you. And so again, it's that narrow path. We want to be desperate for God. We want to be hungry for God. But never giving up anything that God has given us. Not giving up the wisdom or the truth or the purity or the holiness. Yeah. Are there any comments or questions on any of this?
As you're saying, it's not letting go of one to grab onto the other.
Yeah.
So it's like the picture that came to my head was just, it's not swinging from vine to vine, but it's gathering a bouquet,
yeah,
basically. And just you still have those but you can pick another one.
Absolutely.
You can take in it's another one. Yeah.
It's a great picture. Yep. Oh, car. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Like with Ian, I'd been praying about, just what happened there, and because I was crying out to Jesus as well, because, you know, to stand by and watch somebody just in agony, it's difficult. But he verbalized, like it was like he just called it out. But interesting, because I just think, I know something happened, like something opened up in that room, because as soon as he called out to Jesus, the guy next to him turned to me and said, "Is he okay?" And that started a conversation then that I could pray with him and just share about Jesus. So I just think, like, even actually when we were at prayer on Thursday, the verse that kept coming to me was 2 Chronicles 7, where, you know, like God says, if my people will humble themselves and seek my and pray and seek my face.
Yeah.
Like it's that, like that desperation, yeah. Like just, yeah. And that humility.
Yeah.
Like, right. And so, but I came across this verse yesterday, and I just was so encouraged by it, because we had already made the decision to sell the farm in December. I mean, sorry, not in December, in whatever, August, July of 2013. And so we are waiting on the Lord. And I came across this verse. So December 31st, 2013. It's from Isaiah 52. Depart, depart, go out from there. Because I'd been praying, so Lord, what's going to happen with us? And it says, touch no unclean thing. Come out from it and be pure, you who carry the vessels of the Lord. But you will not leave in haste or go in flight. For the Lord will go before you. The God of Israel will be your rear guard. And I'm like, oh, wow, God, you have done that. Yeah. Like, we're still kind of waiting. We're not, like, I don't think that we're going to stay there, like, stay in our house forever. But just that, yeah, that reassurance that God will go before us, yeah. Or behind us, actually, our rear guard. And we don't have, like, flight and in haste is, like, just emergency kind of stuff or whatever. Anyway, I just was so encouraged just by, yep, God, you have provided, and you will continue to do that.
Yeah. That's good. Any other questions or comments?
You might not like this one. No. Just when I walked out of the room there, I was in extreme pain, and I was having an attack, like a gallbladder attack. And I asked Josh to come out and pray for me. And so we were out in the hall, and he prayed for me. And after about 2 minutes, I went into the washroom and it was, it's gone.
Okay.
So praise God for that.
Why wouldn't I like that?
No, that's the good part. No, it's all good. No, but while I was in the washroom, I was just praying, and, you know, and it's funny because, when you don't have your partner to have counsel with you and pray with you, sometimes you want to reach out to other people.
Mm-hmm.
And so as many times I felt, oh, I need to call Kevin, or I need to talk to Kevin and Carlene, or I need to go there and see what they say about this or say about that. And I just felt like God was saying to me, I am your counselor. And you don't need to call on Kevin. You need to call on me and to spend time with me. And I will guide you and lead you. And so, yeah.
That's so good. I want to affirm that. I know that when Carlene and I first got to know Randy and Darla, I would call them actually quite regularly. And eventually God did the same thing in my life. You don't need to call him. You don't need to call Randy. And like, I'm your counselor. And it's not that we can't receive counsel from others, because there's sometimes where it's like, oh, I really can't hear. And God speaks through people too, right? And so, but there came a season in my life where, oh, I need to call him. And then even as I'm reaching for the phone, it's like, but I already know the answer. So I really don't need to call him. I don't need, because the Holy Spirit's already speaking. And so that's really neat. Yeah, I can affirm that. Yeah, be desperate for the Lord, not desperate for others. And yet I really encourage too that, this is where the Lord has to work it out, because it's like, Lord, like I can see one of your prayers, Lord, desperate for fellowship and interaction. And oh God, like may he show us how to walk that out. And yeah, but he's our first love, and he is our counselor. He is our wisdom. Yeah, it's good. But on the other hand too, even with the prayer for the gallbladder, like prayer for the pain, felt led to ask Josh, because I don't want to go us to go into the other ditch. Well, no, all I need to do is ask Jesus, because Jesus is enough, because he's the healer. Josh isn't the healer, or Lil isn't the healer, or Carlene isn't the healer, Kevin isn't the healer. No, but sometimes God wants us to gather together with others. So just, oh, but where he is that first love that we are seeking after. Yeah. Okay, so the question is ringing through in my mind. Give us a practical example. I love it. Larry and I were talking about it. It's like, I love that that's ringing in our minds, because it's so good. Because again, this can be just theory. Well, being desperate for the Lord, it's just kind of out there, right? And what do you do with that? Desperate for the Lord. How does it practically work out in our lives? Well, first of all, to realize that you are desperate for the Lord. Okay? So that helps. That is just a state of fact. We all need food. It's just a state of fact. So we all need the Lord. Don't try to appear more adult than you are. We all have a little child in us that is supposed to remain a little child. We all have childish ways that need to grow up as well. Like, we're not supposed to be childlike in all areas. Sometimes, actually, I've seen that people are childlike in areas that they should be adult-like, and they are adult-like in areas that they should be childlike. But be child. Don't be afraid of not knowing. Don't be afraid of saying, I don't know. People ask about the farm. Where are you going next? I don't know. What are your plans for the church, Kevin? How are you going to grow? You can't remain that small forever. Like, where? I don't. I'm following Jesus. That's my plan. But you're an adult. You need to have a 5-year plan, a 10-year plan. If the Lord gives me that, then we'll have a 5-year plan, a 10-year plan. But so far, the only thing he's given me is follow me. Be comfortable with that, and don't become adult-like in areas that you're supposed to be a child. Again, be vulnerable with wisdom, but be vulnerable with people. Be vulnerable. And I hope that this is a safe place. I hope that this is a, safe, not in the sense of you'll never be challenged or it won't hurt. No, it's not that kind of safe. Okay. But safe as in, you know, you'll be loved and you know that people will not judge. Okay. But be vulnerable with others in your life. Again, that childlike vulnerability. That's a really good practical thing to walk out. Be careful of how you think of yourself. Don't think that you're, like the scriptures say, don't think that you're wiser than you are. No, don't think that you're better than others. Don't think that you're better than you are. I'm okay with not knowing. I've become very okay with not knowing. I've become very okay with not having it all together. Not that I don't want to slide into the other ditch of, well, that's just the way life is then. I'm not going to grow up in these areas. No, I still want to grow. But kind of like a child is okay with swinging at the ball and missing, you know, I'm okay with that too. So be careful of how you think of yourself. Approach God like a child. And for those of us who have walked with the Lord for a while and remember those early days, dwell on those days. Remember those early days of walking with the Spirit. Now, some of us, like I think about like Lily just sharing about selling the farm, and we've heard Larry's testimony where, you know, he's just baptized in the Holy Spirit like about 5-6 years ago now. And so those are what I mean by the early days too. Like, and I don't know your further history back then, but I would remember that. And for those of us who maybe it's like Forrest and myself and Carlene, I don't know everyone's story, but those days are a little bit further in the past. You know, I was baptized in the Holy Spirit about 20, no, how old am I now? 46? About 30 years ago, I was going to say 28 years ago, yeah. I have to remember, I choose to remember those days and then choose to walk out what you've walked in the past, the holiness of those days, the beauty of those days, the desperation of those days. And it's really about reacquainting yourself. I love, again, even how, who is, about Darlene when you shared about prayer with God. And see, that's where I love that, like, whether it's Josh who came to the Lord. Well, when did Josh come to the Lord? About 7 years? Six, seven? And so that's always exciting to me and then Darlene, to see the Lord just moving in your life in the year and a bit that we've gotten to know you or two, I don't know how long. Time really doesn't, I don't do well with time. Yeah. And just to see the excitement grow and the encouragement. And Brian, you too. I love that we're praying for you today because, you know, I met Brian about 6 years ago at St. Anne's. And to see. And so what I would encourage is remember that and look to that and choose to walk in it. Choose to walk in it. For those who have been walking with the Lord for a while, choose to walk in that. And it's almost like, I was going to say, it's almost like getting reacquainted in this. Yeah, that prayer that you're praying, Lord, some people are going to be praying. Just so you know, this group of people are going to be praying. It's so honest and so just vulnerable and beautiful. And sometimes we need to almost approach the Lord with that kind of vulnerability. And it's more for our sake than His because He knows where we're at. But so, Lord, I want to start this love affair with You again. I wanna fall desperately in love with You again. Or maybe never have. Reminds me of some, you know, you watch some TV show. So there's different themes that pop up in different movies or shows, you know. So a married couple that's been married a long time and maybe for 20, 30 years, 40 years, it's been stale and yet they used to love and now they haven't for that long, but then this awkwardness of, you know, two 70-year-olds looking at each other and 60-year-olds or whatever. And I want to fall in love with you again. I want to be flirty. I want to be all these, like, and just that awkwardness, but that's so beautiful. Or maybe for some, you know, another theme sometimes is they've been married for a long time and they've never even had that. But then 40 years into the marriage, they're kind of like, I want that. And maybe those kind of conversations need to be had with God. It's like, I want this with you, Lord. I want a first love kind of love with you. I need that. I'm desperate for that. And just making yourself vulnerable with God and starting that off. It's not awkward for him. It'll be awkward for us, but it's not awkward for him. Just starting that awkward conversation with him and saying, this is what I want, Lord. And I know it's what you want too, that first love kind of relationship. So there's some practical things of how it looks and how to walk it out, whether it's with each other or just in your prayer time with God. And then just start opening the word and saying, Lord, I want this with you, and start walking it out. So any final questions or comments on this? All right. So Lord, we are desperate for you, whether we even realize it or not. We need you. These visions that you've given us, these dreams and these pictures and these inspirations and where we believe you're taking us and all that, we cannot do it on our own. We can't. And you know we can't. And you've never expected us to. We need you to take the lead, Lord. We need you to lead us in it and hold our hands. And I even get this picture of a little girl dancing with her dad and stepping on his feet so that he's really doing everything. He's lifting her feet even as he's lifting his own. And Lord, we need you to lift our feet. We need you, Lord. And so we cry out to you, we call out to you, knowing that you hear us, knowing that this prayer, even in itself, is from you. It's birthed in you. It's birthed in your heart for us, your love for us. So we love you, Lord. Pray this in your name. Amen.